heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Well, there's a story on the national airwaves, barely on the national airwaves, that has outraged me for a lot of reasons, possibly not the same reasons as it has outraged you. And you'll know the story as soon as I tell it to you. We'll get back to that point in just a moment. It's important to understand who we are trusting. It's also important to understand who we are angry with today. It's important to understand that there is no truth. It's whatever narrative you decide to accept as your truth. You've heard that old saying, there's, you know, your truth, my truth, and the real truth. Whatever narrative we bring into our minds and our hearts becomes our truth. And many people, even when they're on the wrong side of that truth, they will still defend it as their truth. So the truth is subjective. When we go around saying, and this is where a lot of fights play out in the media and the social media landscape, is people argue their truth. It really is their opinion. They're arguing their opinion, their thoughts, which is their truth. So the word truth, you got to put that in context. And I don't think we have it in context right now in the national debate we're having. And part of that problem is understanding who we are trusting. Who are we trusting for this narrative, for this information? Well, right now, we find ourselves in a deep, deep pickle of trouble here across America. Troubling times, for sure. Americans are being led like sheeple in what to think, how the argument should be framed again. This at one time would come in the theory from trusted news sources. We would trust the trusted news sources. That's where we would get our truth from, we thought. And that has all changed because they fall into the same thinking pattern that all of us do, with a little more complexities, which we'll talk about, in how they run their operations and why they run their operations the way they do. And this is important because it plays into a lot of the difficulties and challenges we're having right at this moment, and why we're so frustrated, why we're at each other's throats, and why we hate each other. You know, it was Abraham Lincoln who said, "I am a firm believer in the people. If given the truth, they can be depended upon to meet any national crisis. The great point is to bring them the real facts." Now, you could see Abraham Lincoln saying that, but you can also see the problem in what we're dealing with today, because as he says, if given the truth, they can be depended upon to meet any national crisis. Well, the reason we're not meeting the national crisis, and the reason it's ongoing as it is, and like you're thinking it never ends, it's going on forever, these storylines, right? Is because his last point, which he called the great point, that we're not getting the real facts. What's happening now is we are confusing what we at one time called the news. We called it the news. It was the 6 o'clock news, but this was before 24/7 programming of news. But, you know, we're confusing that source, the news, with media outlets. They're two different things. The news and media outlets. While we run around finding fault with the media outlets, and on all levels, I mean, television, radio, newspaper, social media, all of it, many of them are just doing their jobs. They're running their businesses just like anybody would. And that's where, again, things, I think we're on to something. We're going to the well to trust somebody to get the vital information, the news, the facts, but it's not the facts. The news is their truth. And we already know the truth does, we don't really need the truth. We don't want the truth. Don't give us the truth. Give us the facts. Because when they give us the truth, they're giving us their opinion. You see, because it is their opinion, it is their truth. And this is why we are so apart today and just at each other's throats. And I think it's the core reason of much of the hatred out there. So when I say there really is no news, think about it on this terms. When you're in the business, when you're in the business of selling advertising or creating clicks, or trying to appease a certain group of people for whatever reason, then that no longer becomes news. It's not facts, it's news or their truth, but it's gonna be their agenda. It's another word you hear a lot, agenda. It's their agenda, it's their truth. You see, you're not getting facts from that. There's a difference here. It's important we understand the difference. You see, every media outlet, they're selling a product. They're selling an idea. They're selling a service. But they are selling something. They're all selling something. Again, we have to really begin to understand we don't really need the truth. We need the facts. Much of it is, my friends, is the information that people are putting into their bodies, in their heads, in their brains, in their souls, in their hearts. The information that is being fed to the American people. You know, again, at one time, there was your newspapers and your television and your sources, your what we used to call news sources. They had, you know, opinion editorial on one side, which was legit, where people would give their opinion and you would get that and their particular op-ed. And then you had your trusted, quote, quote, news services on the other side. Again, but the problem is that that is no longer facts, that is truth. And so you're all, and again, whether you have a liberal doctrine or a conservative doctrine or a moderate doctrine or whatever it is your philosophies or ideology is, it still is some level of truth. That's how you're going to interpret the information to become your truth. And if it doesn't fit your ideology and your, then it's not your truth, somebody else's truth. And this is where these conversations get slippery as hell, I'll tell you. Whereas we're not getting the real facts. Now, the problem with the Fourth Estate and our news media outlets, we talk a great deal about today. I mean, I talk about it a lot with you, and there's a lot of conversation on the fact that we can't trust the news. You know, what we really need is some services that offer just facts. So maybe like the 6 o'clock fact, you know, service, not truth, but facts. What are the facts? What are the data points? And then the challenge with that is you as the public are going to have to make up your mind to be able to come up with your truth based on those facts. If there was a place, and maybe this is the thing to come now, maybe this is what we need to invent is, you know, just facts. No truth, just facts. Now you have to take those facts into you and come up with your truth. Am I making any sense? It's complicated. Not really, but it sounds it. The media is like any other business in our nation. They want to make a profit. They want to thrive. They have a lot of reasons. They have a board of directors. Typically, they have people, shareholders, whether it's public or private, who they are responsible to. The big problems we're having now in our nation are not going to go away. They are here. And as I look down deeper into a lot of these problems, they are going to remain here. And we are going to continue on this path of hating each other because you don't accept my truth as your truth, you see? And because nobody is really distilling facts, just a whole lot of truths out there. But there's so many truths that's utterly confusing as hell to really know what the facts are. Can't really get the facts, hard to get the facts, because everybody blends it with their truth. Now, listen, I understand this. And I'm not immune to it as well. I give you my truth every day. That's my opinion, my truth, my ideology, my simple way of living. That's my truth. And when I put it out there with you every day, I sell it like it is the gospel truth, because it's my truth. Now, many of you out there, it might be your truth as well. And yet some of you listen, and it may not be at all your truth. And then maybe you hate me, or you call me names or what have you, because that my truth didn't fit your truth. So we're all in this truth business, you see. And this is important we begin to understand this as a people, because it's killing us. It's tearing us apart, I'm telling you, on every level of television, media, newspapers, social media, big time. It's killing us. It is tearing us apart as a people. And there are a lot of people who are out there peddling their truth as facts, as the gospel facts, not the truth, but facts, the gospel facts. Now, I told you already, you know, I can't sit here and tell you I'm giving you every day gospel facts. I cannot say that, because my truth is in there. I am giving you the gospel truth, but I'm not necessarily giving you the gospel facts, because it is all packaged within my belief system. And this is where we find ourselves. I think you might have caught on now to where I'm at, you see. And moving this story along now to why it's important, critically important, that we begin to understand what I just told you. If we can all begin to understand what I just said to you, we can begin to heal and begin to accept each other and move forward. You know, I talk a great deal about the diversity of opinion and the diversity of America and the diversity of people and why I love America, because of our diversity of opinions and thoughts and who we are and the melting part of all of this. I just, to me, it's the joy of America. It is what we are. It's who we are. It's a beautiful thing. And we've got to get back to embracing that, people. It's okay to have a different opinion. I just can't stress this enough. And I'm seeing this, and we're all nervous. I mean, as a publisher and as an editor myself, and we're nervous that somebody puts something in somewhere and somebody's not going to like it. Because that's what's happened now. We've been indoctrinated into this politically correct establishment. You're not supposed to say anything that you're not supposed to say, that somebody doesn't like, that you might hurt somebody's feelings. And some people cross that line with insanity. They say things that are evil and hateful and disgusting and crude. And, you know, that's just a sense of no brains and a classless individual. And they're all over the place. In fact, I just watched a couple of videos of that and a story I'm going to share with you next, just before I came on with you. People that would fit into that category of just the crudest kind of people and just evil. And it's the words that they choose. But it's also, when you watch these videos, it's looking into their eyes as well and knowing that they're packaged in hate. They don't have any faith or God in their life. They don't know what that is. They don't want to know. They're part of the evil camp. This was always going to be about good and evil. I told you that here on day one, on The Voice of a Nation. It is always and was always going to be about good and evil. It's never going to change. My fellow Americans, you have to know that now. And fact is, I need to replay those first two episodes we did last year on The Voice of a Nation. They're two of my favorite episodes. First one, number one, and number two of this program of The Voice of a Nation. I want to talk about the current national story now that is pretty silent. This is a story that is not tearing our nation apart. It is quiet. It is silent. And it's because this does not meet the narrative. It does not meet the quota of truth for those news organizations. Remember now, news is tainted. News is not facts. News is truth. Their truth. It's opinion-based, and it's all layered with that. And it's everything. It's the same thing as the polls. It's how they ask it. It's why they ask it. It's what they ask, and it's who they're asking it to. It's all confusing, people. And it's all meant that way. It's all designed that way to mess us up. And your job and your role out there is to decipher through all of that and determine what your facts are so you can create your truth from those facts to the best of your ability. And hopefully, at the end of the day, good will win over evil if we follow that. It's never going to be easy, though, people, because we all have a different version of truth. And it just is. And it comes back to our thinking, our hearts, our souls, our ideology, how we think, you know, where we get our information from. Most of us and many of us, the vast majority of us, we live in just echo chambers. About the whole world right now is living in an echo chamber. We hang with the people and we talk with the people and we share with the people that only have our belief systems. We block everybody else. We don't really want to hear them. This is part and parcel of the problem. The diversity of opinion, the diversity of America is long gone and lost. We now live in these echo chamber camps. They have taken over our entire nation now and our people. And we live in these echo chambers with our truths. They're closely connected truths. There's a connection of a thread of an ideology and the way we think and the way we feel. And you agree, and we want to know that we're hanging with people that believe like we believe. Well, I really believe you, Frank. Thank you. You know, you believe in me too. You believe in my ideas. We don't like Sally over here who maybe doesn't believe the same way. Her truth is a different truth. So we maybe don't, she's not part of the club. She's not going to hang in my echo chamber. She's leaving. Let's get on to that story I want to tell you about. We'll come back to more of the diversity of opinion and all of that. I have a lot to say about it. This is the story of the five-year-old boy, Cannon Hinnant. This was the five-year-old boy that was shot execution style in the head by a killer, a deranged individual. Don't know what his mental capabilities are or the capacity, who this man is. We don't know that. There's a lot we don't know about this story, but it's a story that many Americans it has impacted, and they are people on the grassroots like you and I understand this story and why it's important. So as I understand it, five-year-old Cannon Hinnant was out in his front yard on his bicycle, the young boy. Now, you always have to put these stories today with the color of their skin. That's just the way all the stories are today. And whether it's, you know, doesn't matter how controversial the story is or not, but it's always layered with the person's skin color. And that's been happening for some years now, long time back, that we always had that. They used to upset me years ago when they would always say, you know, a black man walking down the road or a white man walking down the road and was assaulted by a opposite skin color man. And the media started making hay with that a long time ago, and it bothered me as a young boy. And I remember picking up on it, that narrative. Again, they were telling me their truth as part of the news again and selling that off as news. But I remember that, and it puzzled me why they always made a big point of the fact that that was a black man and that was a white man. And I thought, well, isn't that a man or a woman? Or why is that such important? That I didn't really understand that as a young boy, quite frankly. Why? It didn't hit me. I didn't know that. I didn't really understand we were going to have this problem with color in our nation or with our ethnic backgrounds as a young lad. I didn't see it. Didn't see color. I didn't see the ethnicity. I thought that was one of the beautiful things about our nation, that we came in all kinds of color, shapes, and sizes. We were like the Crayola color and crayon package there, you know, right? I thought that was the beauty of America. That was what we told ourselves coming in, you know, through Ellis Island and immigration and the European settlers and all of that, all the challenges of through our history we fixed. And now we were proud to be the Crayola color box, you know. That was the beauty of America with the torch and the lady in the harbor. Right? That's what that all stood for, mighty America. We welcome everybody. But there are a lot of people who don't like that. They don't want to welcome everybody. Again, it's not their truth. They subscribe to a different theory, you see. And this five-year-old boy that I tell you about, Cannon Hinnant, is that the media appears to be absent in the story for the most part. Now, social media, it's been out there, and people are upset, and the GoFundMe page is scoring lots of hits, and people are outraged, and of course, the parents have suffered the loss of their life, and the daughters and the sisters of young Cannon have suffered greatly. And there are a lot of other elements to this story. But when you go and you search on your search engine, whatever you're using, whether it's Bing or Google, most use Google, Bing or DuckDuckGo or myriad of them out there, but Google is the one that most people use. And like the Kleenex brand of information, which is another problem of why we're, again, their truth. Google puts their truth in their algorithms, just like Twitter does and Facebook does. Their truth. Everything is their truth. And see, we are becoming the sheeple following all those truths of all those agendas. And then we run around and we don't like it. In fact, we hate it. And we resent it. And we fight against it. We want them to take our truth. But see, they own the enterprise and they want their truth. Part of the problem here is when you search for this in your search engine and you put the name in, Cannon Hinnant, you just get some stories on the local level. You'll get local stories, absolutely. It's a big story. It's a big story. Again, black man, neighbor, walks in and shoots next door in the front yard, shoots the white boy, the five-year-old white boy. Now, many are claiming, of course, if that was a white man next door and he killed a young black boy, that would be a major national story of racism. That would fit more of their narrative, is what they are suggesting. What do you think? Do you think that's accurate? Well, it depends what their truth is. And you see, I mean, the media people here, these business media, shareholder-driven operations. It depends upon what their truth is and what they're putting out there, right? But it appears that their truth isn't really facts because they don't really want to cover this story. Well, they're not covering this story. Again, there's a lot of local news, but on the national level, it's very, very, very limited. There is no outrage on the national level. I don't see it here anywhere. I mean, you'll see it on YouTube, and you'll see it in social media, and you'll see it within the GoFundMe circles and all of that. I get that. But, you know, I see there's one story here in the Washington Post, you know. Cannon Hinnant, killing, neighbor arrested, charged in death, you know. CNN has one brief story. Cannon Hinnant's father says the suspect was a neighbor. But most of them were all local channels. But there's no outrage with those people. There's no big outrage here. I don't see it. I'm not feeling any outrage here. Now, on the lower level, with like you and I, there would be probably a lot of outrage. I mean, we understand the fight of good and evil, and we understand that no human being should take the life of another human being, rest assured, and let alone a five-year-old innocent child. But we shouldn't take the life of any age person. But we always put the caveat on that, don't we? Let alone a five-year-old child. I mean, we're profoundly hurt when it's a five-year-old, an eight-year-old, a three-year-old, a 10-year-old. We are. Because that person hasn't lived life. They haven't experienced life. Yeah, they're young. They're naive. Their brains are still forming. I mean, that's what they are. They're a sponge at that age. And so we feel like they, you know, they lost something in their life. I mean, it was taken away, and their life was taken away too short. And these innocent kids, we're seeing a lot of young Black children that are being killed in neighborhoods by Black adults. Again, if you want to have that Black and white conversation. Now, if those were white adults killing the Black kids, that would be another narrative that the media. So then I think if we stop and say, well, but none of this makes any sense, Malcolm. Why are they doing this? I think we can all conclude that these media news sources of such truth, their truth, they want to divide the people. They want to divide the people. And there is no other conclusion that I could come up with. That appears to be where they're at and what they want to accomplish is divide the people. I mean, they have to know that the messages they put out there are not going to be unifying. These are not unifying sort of messages they put out when they're creating all these racist talks about police officers killing young Black men. And, you know, and then you look at the numbers and the data and all the points and, it, you know, none of it adds up. But they don't give us just the facts because they give us their truth. They give us their opinion and their truth. And then we have to, and they give their truth out constantly. And then they beat the drum on their truth. So like when you go to a story like Floyd, well, that was a story that was very excitable and juicy for CNN and Washington Post and hundreds and thousands of other news, truthful sources of information out there. No facts, just layered with their opinions and thoughts and their truth. That story was highly acceptable because that fit their narrative to divide the people. And it gets soupy people because now you have to look beyond that story and say, okay, why are they really doing that? What do they really want? The race to divide the people between Black and white and the cops between, okay, law and order, good and evil, Black and white, good and evil, law and order, crime. What do they really want? That all just creates division. The fact that they're pushing their truth out there to the American people, right? And then hopefully not you all, but to the sheeple out there who just follow along, as most people do, because, you know, not to be anything, but many people don't have the time. And I don't even say sheeple to be negative or to be nasty. I'm not even saying that for that reason. Listen, I understand full that people have a life to live and you can't research and get all those facts for every story. I mean, I understand that. And possibly that's maybe what I need to do is create another organization somewhere that just has facts, never truth, just facts. And we'd have to call it that now. And our slogan and tagline would be, you know, there is no truth here, just facts. As long as we can get everybody to understand what the truth really is, we don't really want the truth. Right? That was Jack Nicholson said that, right? You can't handle the truth. Well, sure, we couldn't handle your truth. We can handle facts, and then we'll make up our truth. Well, the outrage of this story of Cannon Hinnant and what has taken place here is, it's pretty unbelievable, people. Anytime a human being is killed unnecessarily by evil forces, it touches my heart. I want to see justice where injustice is. I want to right the wrongs. I don't like to see injustice in the world. I want good to prevail. I don't want people to die unnecessarily. I don't want these little five-year-olds to die. Whether they're Black, white, Asian, how tall they are, or pigment color of their skin, I don't care about that. I just don't want people to die, human beings of any type. That's my preference. But the world is full of good and evil. And evil is and will always exist. And people like this murderer and this killer will always exist on this planet. They have been here since the garden scene, and they will be here to eternity until we are no more. It just is a way of life. And it's sad. It's very sad. So it puts the challenge in the test of times for the rest of us to be able to carry out the fight of good and to put justice where injustice is and to right the wrongs. And that's what I'm asking you to do out there, my fellow Americans, is to right the wrongs, put justice where injustice is, and help us stay out of those weeds and not be sheeples to follow these news organizations that push their truth out onto a very unsuspecting public, the American public. And every day people are digesting their truth. And we live in these echo chambers, and now all of this gets to a feverish pitch of building up. And because they're giving us their truth, and it's an incessant drumbeat of George Floyd and that cop, and all cops are bad, and they're racist, and they're killing the young people, the young black people, and it's bad, 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 bad. And they feed this narrative out to the public, their truth, forgetting all the other data points and all the other facts that would suggest otherwise, knowing that evil comes in all kinds of colors, all kinds of sizes, all kinds of shapes. It just is. There are as many evil white people as there are black. There are many Asians. There are many different types of people of all kinds. They live in all types of ethnicities and colors and backgrounds and gender, and it just is a fact. There is no kind of human being that is immune from this, that they are somehow a higher power. They are, you know, innate from all of this. They are the higher being. They don't exist. It's not here. And so this particular day that happened that took Canon Hinnant's life was a force of good and evil. Evil came in that neighborhood from next door and came into where the kids were playing and decided to take this five-year-old's life in front of his sisters and shoot him in the head, point blank, dead. And now life will never be the same for that family and for those people. And this young boy will never have a life, whether he's black, white, or whatever color he is of no matter, really. He will not have a life. He does not exist here on this planet anymore. And how sad is that? How unfortunate is that? But the bigger story, again, is how your media, your trusted, truthful news sources, and how they push their truth onto an unsuspecting public for other reasons? Absolutely. For an agenda they're not being truthful with. They're not telling you the whole story. And they're not telling you, there are no asterisks and caveats with their story that will tell you why they're really giving you their truth and why they spin that. You're never going to get that from a New York Times or a CNN or a Fox News. You don't get it from anybody, because they all have their truth they're pushing on you, the public, to buy and accept. And so it gets really quite interesting with many of the comments coming in on this story and what had happened now in the impact. I want to share with you some of the heartfelt moments and thoughts from the mother and the family and what has taken shape here in this young five-year-old Cannon's life. This was going to be a difficult story for me today, and I knew that before I came on here with you, and I was concerned to take this topic on, but I felt in my heart I needed to do this. I needed to talk about this story, but I wanted to peel it back a little bit further so you would understand what we're up against here, why we're having the civil unrest in America's cities. We're getting their truth. Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the Vision of the Voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
The five-year-old Cannon Hinnant, as we've been talking about here, shot point blank by a neighbor, deranged individual, totally good and evil. Everybody's now circling this to try to make some hay out of it. And as I started to look, and you just search, just put his name in any search engine you use, and you'll see there is no really national outcry and outrage. This isn't the lead story on any really news organization that you are seeing. I mean, it is, again, you'll get it on the local level, coupled on their truth, but you'll see various points of interest on this. But there's no national or even international outrage as there was with Floyd. Now, if you compare the two stories, my friends, it's this. Now, George Floyd, he had a background and a history of criminality. I mean, he's been arrested multiple times. He has a record, a track record. He was a young man. He had a brain. He could think for himself. He was developed. And he chose a life of evilness. Now, they made him out to be a saint. I mean, they had a carriage, horse-drawn carriage down the boulevard, and it was a purity of, you know, a sanctity of an amazing man, an amazing... I mean, they really dressed this one up. They really made it into something. It wasn't. What they did is they took evil, and they tried to dress it up as good, so that you would accept that, you would buy into it, that you would accept their truth as facts, as data facts, as points. That was their goal. And they pretty much succeeded. They succeeded with pulling our country apart. So then you have to look beyond that and say, well, what's the other narrative here? I mean, clearly they want to win an election, okay? They want to create all of this... they don't want diversity. They want adversity. They want crime. They want what? What do they want? They want blacks fighting with whites. They want our cities destroyed. They want the mayors, the governors. They're accepting the vandalism as peaceful protest and burning buildings and hurting people and killing people and, you know, chop zones put up and all these little safe zones of nothingness. And you know, that's all was okay. That was all their truth. And they pushed that on to the American people, and they did it in such a profound way, just like they did Michael Brown in Ferguson. The whole hands up, don't shoot, and the whole narrative, cops are bad. Law and order is bad. And evil is good. So the Browns and the Floyds, and they're good, but other is bad. There's your fight of good and evil. And so as you look here and you look at the, again, your search engine, you'll see what I'm talking about. This isn't a stretch, people. There's no, this story is not going to lead your authentic, trusty, truthful news channel today or tomorrow or any other day. Now, if it was something they could use for their agenda or their narrative, that would be a different story. This could potentially lead their new story. Now, I don't know what that all means. Does that mean that the guy next door is white and the kid is black? I don't really, you figure that out. Racism comes in all kinds of colors, shapes, and sizes, people. All kinds. It's part of that whole evil thinking. And there are blacks, whites, yellows, every kind of color under the rainbow of sun of colors that fit that descriptive and narrative of being racist. It's an evil agenda where people don't accept somebody for who or what they are. So we'll never get over that as a people. We'll never going to fix racism. I'm convinced of that now. These people are always going to use it as their truth. And they're always going to, you know, harpen back to another day, back to when, whatever, they slavery, something they can pull out of the bag of tricks from yesteryear to say, do you remember when? And do you see how bad those white people are? You see? And they can push that. And whites and blacks push that narrative because it's handy, because they have other reasons to do it, and they'll use the sheeple to accomplish whatever their objectives are. This is the absolute ultimate fight. I mean, I can see it as clear as the day is long here. I hope you can see it as well. So when you take this young boy's name again, and you put it in YouTube as well, and you start to see, and it's interesting to see some of the comments out there. One of the YouTubers, Tyrone Magnus, I don't know a lot of these people, by the way, but when you search it, you go look at them, you see this is a black commentator of some sort, Tyrone Magnus. Interesting, he's got 1.78 million subscribers, so he's got a few. And he's got a message he puts out. Again, I don't know anything about his politics, and it doesn't really matter. But he gets on there and he talks about this young kid, sort of shocked and surprised and feels bad from what I could understand. I listened to a few minutes of his video, didn't watch the whole thing in total disclosure to you. But what I'm more interested in talking to you about is the comments, some of the comments, because these are real Americans, and you can learn a lot by some of the comments in the thread and understanding how people are thinking. And you'll understand some of the wackadoodles in there, too. There are a lot of wackadoodles out there. They're all over the place. You get them in every social media outlet. You got to watch the wackadoodles and stay away from those people, okay? And you'll know that right away. And wackadoodles will always use language, just like this guy. I'll show you another one. I don't know that this guy did. I didn't hear him use language. But there's another one littered with language. And you'll see that also in a lot of comments when people use a lot of language. Typically, that's part of their wackadoodle strategy because that's the only way they can get your attention, just like a comedian. You know, a comedian that doesn't have a lot of talent, isn't real funny, has to use language because it's a hell of a lot more, funnier to the audience when you start throwing those F-bombs in there. Rather than the horse just fell in the pile of mud there, if the flipping F fell in the mud pile and he couldn't get up because of the, it's just funny as hell. It gets funnier by the moment, you see? That's what language does for you. It just pulls you down on the lowest possible denominator, so your barometer rises and you become more authentic to who you are. A bit of an evil douchebag, more or less, I guess. I don't know. But that's typically what it is with language. We use that as Americans when we want to think we're funny. Now, a comedian who is really talented, they don't need to use language, basically. And that's harder to find. I think, but I think this might make sense to you, but they could get on there. Those people are really amazing. I mean, they don't necessarily need all those F-bombs to be funny. Truly remarkable, you know? And I find that quite unique here. So let's look at some of these comments here on this particular video here. One person says here, Micah says, of course this doesn't make the news, must not fit the media's narrative. Well, that's what I've been telling you, more or less. Micah's right, you know. Ollie says, when you type Canon Hinnant, all you find are YouTubers talking about it and not the media. You know something is wrong, okay? Kentucky Fried here says, you know there would be 24/7 coverage of this if the races were reversed. Now, that's what Kentucky Fried is thinking, you know. Paul says, absolutely disgusting. Poor baby didn't even get to start kindergarten, you know. And then Fontingo says, I went to CNN and searched their entire site. Not even a single sentence about it. Fox News did cover it, though. Woohoo! This isn't mental, Philip says. This is pure evil, pure hate. Sean says, glad you covered this cause no major media news outlet has. You know, and it goes on and on, but it's interesting to see what they're saying. Yeah. Steven says, you don't take payback on anybody's child. This is just evil. And he's right. And then on another channel here, Larry Reed, I don't know this guy either, but he's got a few subscribers, 82,000 here, so he's got a few as well. He was not happy at all, and he has a message, a lesson for white people. Very racist talk in this one. I could only listen to a few minutes of it. It's just a whole hour of this he's got, but it's a lot of his talk is enough to make you sick. Very, very racist, because he's suggesting that white deserve it, and because, you know, there was no outrage for black people, and the white, it gets really ugly. This is where racism, like I say, comes in all kinds of flavors and colors, you know. And there's one comment says here is, I think, a very interesting comment. All the hashtags for black people that have been unjustly killed, and rightfully so, but also some hashtags for justified shootings and all the protests that have been massive this year. Now one, only one, for a white child that was shot, execution style, and this is your reaction. This seems very, very odd and wrong to me. You know, and he goes on with some other things here, but he pretty much lays it out and said, this is wrong, and you get the feeling of what he's saying here. Another one says, great example of pure racism from black people against white, was this other person said. It's sad, someone else says, 2020 had to be the year to give people discernment. You need it at all times. You should know before they're exposed. Another person, thank you, Larry. Diversity is divine. Thank you. This person was thanking him for all of that, okay? Another one, my heart is saddened by all this lawlessness in the world. Okay, God, what's next on your agenda? Something worse than Isaiah 26:20. So enough of that. You get the sense. It is interesting, though, to see the comments and what some people are thinking about this, how they feel about it. Now, The Blaze come out and said, you know, last week some major media news networks neglected to cover the appalling murder of the five-year-old boy, which sparked the hashtag say his name, right? And this was trending and all of that. And again, they've raised some pretty big dollars. I can tell you Americans are really, really upset with this case. I mean, they are definitely internalized this and not happy about it, because the GoFundMe page is already, it's going to be going over now 800,000. So this, we're talking, yeah, $800,000. It's going to be going over here just shortly. It's up in the high sevens now. So as I record this with you and talk to you about it, but it will continue on here. They were only trying to raise $5,000, they said. And again, people and the American people have reached out and trying to help this family even more. You can see the outrage on that level. We the people are outraged. I mean, I get that feeling there with a lot of the background I'm seeing here. And of course, the family, the sisters, the young girls that were with little Cannon, you know, will never be the same, clearly, that were right there who seen this murderer walk over and shoot the boy. Now, he didn't shoot the girls or the other. I mean, this could have been a catastrophe. This guy could have went off. Obviously, if he was that deranged, he could have shot all the kids and went in and shot the rest of the family as well. Now, I mean, they could be burying 5-6 people easy today. What drew it in this individual to just do the one, I don't know. And when I say individual, I don't use the evil murderers, perpetrators. I don't put their names out there in the public space. I don't think I need to. That is not my game. I'm not going to destroy my broadcast by putting this evil person's name in it. It's not necessary for you to get the point of the story. Okay. All right. So I have no reason to tell you his name. There's no reason at all. Just as well as I don't put it on America Out Loud for the same reason, you see. A witness, Doris LeBrand, says that she's seen this guy run up to the boy, the killer now, run up to the little boy, put the gun near his head and pull the trigger, that he allegedly ran back into his house, which is next door to the home of the father. Okay, Austin Hinnant is the father here. The neighbor said, my first reaction was he's playing with the kids. For a second, I thought, well, that couldn't happen. People don't run across the street and kill kids. Well, it's not supposed to happen that way, Doris, but it did here. And she really thought it was just a game or something was not quite right about it, but couldn't figure it out really in the moment. You know how that sort of thing takes you by surprise, you know? It goes on here, and I want to share a couple of comments from the mom, Bonnie Wardell. Okay, Bonnie Wardell. And she says, my baby didn't deserve this. He had the biggest smile, the biggest eyes. We lost a big piece of our family. He changed all of our lives. He touched everybody that he knew. This man took my girls when he took my baby, speaking of the her daughters, the two sisters of the young canon, you know, she said that they know he's in a better place and she wants to seek the death penalty for this guy, which is hard to get up here. As I understand that in North Carolina, they haven't executed one there in a long time. So I was reading some backstories on that as well. So I don't know whether that happens or not. You know, it's a whole nother conversation, clearly, you know. And she's outraged. She's horrified. Her comments get pretty unsettled after that. She said she'll burn the country down if she doesn't get justice, and she's ready to flip the country upside down. And this is a mom. This is a mom. This is a woman who's lost her young son, just as you would lose your son or your daughter or your someone you love so passionately that someone took senselessly from you. You potentially might say the same thing, you know. It's very possible, right? But again, the message of all of this is there is no outrage. I leave you with a few thoughts here, my fellow Americans, is that I hope you learn a few things from this this very frank conversation today. Racism in all kinds and all colors and all styles is evil. We are fighting the ultimate fight of good versus evil on planet Earth, and it will continue on well past our days. All we can do as a people is represent good and put justice where injustice is to right the wrongs of society. All we can do is try to be to decipher all of these truths, to come up with the facts, and to really make sure we fall down on those facts. So as we internalize those facts, that we then come up with our truth, our gospel truth, it falls on the side of good. That it falls on the side of justice. That's all I'm asking you to do. That's it. That's what I want to do here. That we fall on that side of it, and then it's all good. That truth, your truth, is the gospel truth at that point in your world, and now it will never take away from somebody else's truth, and we shouldn't worry about it. We shouldn't worry about it. We don't need to get into those fights with people. We need to always take the high road. It's what I tell you, and this is a perfect example of that, and seeking justice for Canon Hinnant. And that is justice, is to make the right decisions and learn from this. And the mom says she wants Canon to impact the world. And they may do something more profound. They may have some cause. A lot of these kinds of stories, they go on to create not-for-profits and various organizations that change the world. We've seen it before. We've seen this before, where out of evil comes good. And justice does not just survive, it thrives in the moment. That is what we have to hope for. But with all of this, we have a job to do here with this so-called news media that is so wrong, that is pumping information out there to the public incessantly in a drumbeat and a narrative of their truths, totally wrapped up into their packages of their agenda. And much of that is an evil agenda, sadly, with racism and criminality and political motivations, where socialism and communism come from, and all of those evil thoughts. See, that's all packaged. Law enforcement, bad. Criminality, good. Peaceful protest, rioting, good. Minding your own business, bad. It's all of this, the stories, pushing them out there. Criminal individual, good man, carriage horse down the road, beautiful. The media is what you've got to be careful for now on all levels, including social media. You've got to watch all of these truths out there and know that they are truths, but they are also untruths. They are their truths and they are tainted. And every piece of news you hear is going to be the same way. It's all wrapped in some sort of an agenda. We're going to have a job to do ahead to be able to distill all of that and really understand what the facts are, to be able to prevail in the good fight. And that's my message today. And I give a incredible blessings to this young boy, this five-year-old Cannon, and his family. It's about impossible to put that into the context. There is nothing I could possibly potentially say that would change any of what that situation is. The only thing we can do as a people is to move forward and to make sure in his name that justice does prevail, that good replaces evil, that justice replaces the injustice. We have to fight for that good. Thank you, my fellow Americans, for listening. Thank you for being on the mission here. Let's continue forward. It's time to get involved and get loud.